Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Two of the program, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. We take you up until 2 here on the program. We're going to talk to Wes Goldberg here in about 13 minutes or so. Wes will stop by Locked On Heat podcast. Go check out him and David Ramil on all your podcast platforms.
I mean, I'm just asking, like, should we really be as disappointed as everybody is based on the way the season has gone? You know what I mean? Or this is what it was going to be, and to win two games in the play-in was actually an accomplishment. Because, like, the team was 37 and 45.
Mm-hmm.
What were you expecting?
I think everybody's just – it's not even just, like, getting blown out. It's just record fashion. Anytime you get on the other end of infamy, it's going to leave you – even Spo admits – Spo doesn't admit anything. He's, like, still wallowing in his embarrassment.
I know. I get it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. But that plane ride to Cleveland.
Oh, that plane ride.
I get that it was embarrassing. But I'm just saying, what – have you done during the course of the year that made you think that
I got you.
You could be closer? Because there's no stats that you have and they have where it would say we should be competing with them.
What do you want here? You want a quote that's going to make you insane, or do you want to make or can I laugh at JJ Redick first? What do you want?
Who's the quote from?
Bam Adebayo.
Go with JJ Redick first, so I'm in a good mood.
Headlines are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. The Lakers get bounced in 5. And finally, everybody can join me in realizing that this guy, JJ Redick, it's nothing against him, personally.
Seriously, yeah,
I really have nothing
against
him.
He's only been a coach for 6 months.
Yeah, well, if you ask him, he thinks he's been God's gift to basketball. Because you remember, he was getting all the flowers, the Luka trade, look at the defense, the 3 seed, JJ Redick, he knows coaching. That's how people were. But he lost it this series, because you want to know why? He played the old too much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I understand LeBron is a freak. You can't play him 46 minutes and never give him a break.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
He had this starting five play the whole second half.
Mm-hmm.
And wonder why they...
And then, this last game, this may go... It's not LeBron losing to JJ Barea, but you've never seen Rudy Gobert look this good in a playoff game of significance.
Never.
He looked like Wilt Chamberlain. And JJ Redick sat there because of what he wanted to be in the pregame media, smug. And he
was trying to outcoach the room.
Yeah. He was trying to outcoach the room. He got too cute.
We've seen that.
Too cute.
Down here.
Yes,
no,
but.
No, I'm talking about in football.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, here was J.J. Redick, who lost his mind before the game because somebody dared to ask him about substitutions.
As you watch the film, what do you recall about your thought process in the moment, sticking with the five you stuck with in the fourth quarter the other day? And is there an assistant or someone maybe that you'll lean on tonight, maybe to try to get, you know, some other guys involved if that opportunity presents itself?
Are you saying that because I'm inexperienced and that was an inexperienced decision that I made? Do you think I don't talk to my assistants about substitutions every single timeout?
No, I just think there's a lot of coaches lean on their assistants in those situations.
As do I, a lot every single time. That's a weird assumption.
Yes. You may have leaned.
Thank you, Coach.
Don't say thank you.
Thank
listen,
you,
listen.
I start crying.
Here, dear people, there's certain situations
thank you, Coach.
That play out a certain way.
I would not say thank you.
You do not have to be cordial. In fact, I would have felt bad if you say bye bum. Like, because that's the way he handled you.
Jesus.
That's rude.
And it was crazy because Reggie Miller was saying on the broadcast, he's like, dude, I had to calm J.J. Redick down. Like, in the pre, you know how, like, TNT will meet with the coaches before? And he's like, he's got to handle these things with a little bit, like,
here's the problem.
With game by game.
Here's the problem. He was a player. He has to get out of the mindset of a player and into the mindset of a coach. And what happens is that when you're a coach, you have to be the calming force to keep everybody going in the same direction. You're going to get mad. You're going to get upset. You're going to whatever. But you can't be fired up like a player because you can't shoot the ball. You can't make a bucket. So you have to be the voice. You know what? He take a lesson from Paul Maurice.
Mm-hmm.
We know Paul Maurice gets mad.
Yep.
But that's how he is with his team. When he talks to us, he's one way, calm, deliberate in how he answers questions, right? He doesn't want people to see him be the coach, right? And so, like, that's
–
and I'll say this. I always do this. I always, somebody said Pat Riley was a coach. Yeah, but he understood the transition, and Pat Riley wasn't.
Pat Riley did not go straight to head coach.
And he, right. But I would say sometimes you have to be aware of who you're dealing with and be understanding of you being there, right? Instead of, you can't be the tyrant.
I don't know who it's gone well for who has been the player and gone right to it and it's been smooth.
It would probably be the Dallas coach.
Kid.
No,
Kid got fired twice.
Yeah.
I know, but
he got fired twice. He had a lot of falling on his face. I'm saying you go from playing right away, and he was broadcasting playing to broadcasting
right.
to this position, which is, by the way, it's the highest position of profile because the Lakers are the rare NBA team where they're analyzed throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, you take your licks. Like, Chauncey Billups went through some rough years with the Blazers. You're not really on that much of a pedestal.
Steve Kerr.
I was going to say, was Kerr
Steve Kerr was a GM. Steve Kerr was, right. Steve Kerr was a GM with the Suns, then mm-hmm. broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, his first job like went by profile, but like he was in basketball. Mm-hmm. I get it, but I don't love that example.
Yeah.
Like Chris Quinn, Caron Butler, like they've been on the staff for a long time. I mean, you know, you think about these guys who have been like working it on up, and that's why.
Who can we think of? So we have Jason Kidd, Steve.
Saying,
Nash.
I'm saying the foreign player thing never works. I'm just saying for it to work right away and be taught like this guy is going to be has basketball magic.
But why then? My question to you would be this: is why Don't.
Dave South said that kid fake spilling soda, water.
Yeah, yeah, remember that?
I don't. So,
pretty savvy.
So knowing this, why aren't we more patient? Is it because of his smugness?
He's smug. Well, I think the first time he's getting his comeuppance, because I think most people have been like.
Well,
most
because
people
he played
like,
LeBron and Luka.
JJ, exactly.
So if there was no,
that's
if,
my
if,
point.
If LeBron and Luka had more success, and we would say this, look, we get mad at Spo about this. When the other team has size, and you think you can outcoach 7 foot without putting another 7-footer in there,
mm-hmm.
right? It's infuriating. But there's been coaches. I can't think of a coach that has tried to go small with a team that had a lot of size, and it works out consistently. It might work a game here or there, but for J.J. Redick not to decide, it's Rudy Gobert.
Dude.
It's Rudy Gobert. It's not Akeem, right? It's Rudy Gobert, who, if Rudy Gobert scores 27, that's the equivalent to Wilt scoring 100. Because he usually ends up with, what, 10, 15 points? 10, 15 rebounds?
That was crazy. We'll take a break. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs and the Miami Heat, of course. Wes Goldberg, Locked On Heat. He'll stop by next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. We're going to get into a little Miami Heat here as your Miami Heat had their exit interviews yesterday after getting destroyed by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
How angry were you? Just you know, we'll get into it now, but just if you give me scale of angriness.
On the comments?
Yes. Like, did someone say something that you're like, all right, I get it,
dude? Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I don't think anybody really angered me.
All right.
I don't think anybody. I was more upset at the end of the season, but it was after a 55-point loss, so you'll excuse my mood. But let's talk to our guy, Wes Goldberg from Locked On Heat. Go check out the Locked On Heat podcast on YouTube. Him and David Marino, go subscribe to their channel and all of their podcast platforms. They do a great job. One of the best daily Heat shows out there. Wes joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com. Hello, Wes.
How's it going?
It's good, buddy. Thank you for joining us. I guess I'll piggyback off of Marcos's question. Was there anything that like made you recoil a little bit yesterday at Exit Media Day, or did you find it to be did you find anything that stood out the most that perked your ears up from anybody? Pick anybody that was there, just of the events of yesterday.
Yeah, definitely no recoil, because I think anybody that's been in that Heat media room. The standard is pretty high after Jimmy Butler came out on January 2nd and said he basically didn't want to be there anymore. So, nobody hit that level. No, I think what stood out was some of the candidness about the Jimmy Butler situation from Eric Spoelstra, from Bam, from Tyler, and all these guys. You know, they kind of just ignored it, it felt like, all year long. We know that Eric Spoelstra won't say Jimmy Butler's name in these press conferences, and you know, they kind of just had this, let's put our head in the sand and keep forging on approach to the whole Jimmy Butler thing. And now that the season is over, they can kind of reflect. And I think that they need to, just because the season is over and Jimmy Butler's not here anymore. I think it's really important for this team to kind of digest what happened, reflect on what happened in order to move forward. I don't think that they've completely moved on, even if they say they can. Or say that they have, but I think it was good that they were honest about it and said, yeah, it impacted the season. It kind of threw a wrench in things, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but I think that was really important. And then, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff that we can get into about Bam, you know, doubling down on his comments about, you know, wanting to win and basically suggesting that changes have to be made to the roster, and Tyler Hero talking about his extension, Davion Mitchell talking about whether or not he'll be back. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could take away from it.
Yeah, I wanted to get into the Bam thing because you asked him about that after the game, and it was an interesting answer where he's like, I expect a lot of changes based on, you know, knowing what Pat Riley's going to do. And then he's asked about it yesterday, and I thought it interesting just because one of the things that has been missed with all of these, you know, targets or people who were tied to the Heat, a lot of them wanted to play with him. Like, that was the thing, right? You know, as much as people love Jimmy and he's the guy and the dog, nobody will dispute that. The tie-in, whether it be Spider or Dame, whomever, a lot of them wanted to play with Bam, and they either didn't do enough or just misplayed the media game with some of them. And I got to imagine for Bam, who's got all these relationships around the league and maybe has convinced guys, hey, like, this is the place for you. Now you're at this point, like, do you feel like that level of frustration is getting there for him, that they haven't taken advantage of that?
I don't think it's a level of frustration. I think it's an acceptance of the responsibility that he's feeling now that Jimmy Butler is not here. This is Bam's first offseason as the star of the team, if you think about it, right? Because Jimmy comes here and he wasn't the star of the team. He was basically a brand new starter in 2019 when Jimmy Butler arrived. He's the team captain, and I think that there is a comfort and a sense of security that Bam has. In other words, I don't think he thinks he's going anywhere. And what I found really interesting about when he was asked to clarify on those comments at the exit interview was talking about how he's going to have a conversation with Pat Riley about it. And that is the thing that the star of the team does. And I would imagine maybe this is the first time Bam has had this kind of responsibility. So I don't know that it's frustration, but I do think that he's looking at the landscape of the league and seeing how hard, and he kept saying how hard it is to win a playoff game, and knowing that this roster needs major upgrades. I think he's out there, and you're totally right. He's the guy that stars want to play with. He knows them from the Olympics. he's the kind of star who doesn't even need the ball, right? So he's the kind of star that other stars will be like, oh, I can go in there. I can still get my 20 shots per game. And Bam's going to hit awesome screens and he's going to play great defense and he's going to make my job easier as a star player. So, yeah, I think Bam is feeling all of that kind of responsibility now.
Wes, you think, like, when I look at this team and I look at over the years, they've always had kind of enough depth to where they could play and Spo could say, hey, this guy earned his minutes and you could play all these games with, you know, the bench. This year, I found it almost necessary that some of those guys get their take their lumps early so they won't have to deal with it either at the end of this year or in the future. And there's a couple of guys that I feel like, no, we just let this go on until next year, and we're going to have the same conversations next year. Like, the team was 37 and 45. Should he just put those guys out there and let them take their lumps now when they only had 37 wins versus waiting next year where you think you're probably going to, you know, have a better team, but now you still got to figure out some of these young guys?
Yeah, I think trying to find the balance between the youth and the guys like Bam and Tyler Hero is going to be really interesting, because Spoelstra kept talking about a couple of different times, hey, like, these guys 20, 21, 22, 23 years old, we kind of need them to be 26, 27, 28 years old. And obviously, you know,
he was rats off his ship the quickest, though.
I think what's interesting about it is, do they have the patience to do all of that?
Right.
Bam's 27. Tyler's 25. Do you just trade these guys for people who are 26, 27, 28, 29 years old? I think that's going to be fascinating. And I don't know that the Heat even know the answer to that right now, to be clear. I think that really does matter how the offseason plays out. Can they go get a third star to add to Bam and Tyler? I think that is the intent. But as the Heat know, and as we know, easier said than done. But yeah, I think that this Heat team is at a crossroads here. And if you look at the roster, it should be parts of it should be patiently built. But then you look at what this Heat, what the Heat are saying, and what Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra are saying, and Bam Adebayo are saying, and they're saying, no, we don't have that kind of patience. We're not willing to wait to win. We want to win right now, and the standards are really high. And frankly, those two things don't work together. Like, we've seen teams try to take the two timeline approach. I don't know why Miami would want a two timeline approach to a 500 team right now.
Right.
From your standpoint, Tyler yesterday, some thoughts on the contract and his year. What was the most interesting thing that stood out to you about Boy Wonder?
Yeah, I guess the contract extension talk, talking about how, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal if he didn't sign it this year, which is true. It almost makes more sense for Tyler Hero to wait until next summer, because if he made an all-NBA team next year, which is, it used to be impossible, but with the 65-game rule, not impossible anymore, right? Enough true. Injuries, and he can end up on third-team All-NBA, no problem, especially if he takes one more leap into next year. So it makes a little bit more sense for him to wait, but then at the same time, it makes more sense for the Heat to offer it now and say, hey, you're our guy, we want to offer you that stability. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I also thought it was really interesting how he talked about his approach coming into the season, how he imagined playing off of Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier. And he was going to be more of a glue guy. That was his word. He was going to be more of a glue guy and be more off the ball. And then you saw all of that kind of start at the beginning of the season. And then when it became clear that Rozier, or whatever happened, I guess nothing became clear with Rozier, but it just became clear he couldn't play anymore. And then the whole Jimmy Butler fiasco, he was put back into that number one scoring option, but then learned how to do it while also adding all these new things that he prepared for in terms of three-point shooting, getting to the rim, playing off the ball more, screening more off the ball, all that kind of stuff I thought was really interesting. And I think it speaks to Tyler's overall approach. And I don't know that you would say this about a guy who's, you know, 6 years going into his seventh year in the NBA, where it feels like he kind of opened up a new door in terms of, like, the kind of player he can be, because he was willing to embrace that off-ball role. He's not just a primary on-ball guy anymore. He's not like a super sixth man anymore. It feels like there's another level for him to get to, and I thought that was really interesting.
You think we've been, like, to criticize Tyler based on this season is, even though you made an all-star or whatever, a lot of people saying he's not that guy. Is it a bit unfair based on what he said and what he thought he was going to do versus what he had to do? And, in fact, it shows a lot of growth that he was able to just switch roles like that and get acclimated relatively quickly. Because remember, dude, we tried it with Josh.
Josh Richardson.
Josh Richardson. Yeah, remember, same thing early on in his career, right? We tried to make him that guy.
A little bit different because Josh Richardson was, a four-year player and a second-round pick coming into the league. So I think expectations are a little bit different for Tyler, who was a one-year player and a lottery pick. But look, I've been accused on Locked On Heat all the time of being a Tyler Hero apologist. So just take that for what it's worth. But I do think that we've been very unfair to him. He could go out and say, I want to be in the conversation with Luka Doncic to trade. Like, whatever. Like, who cares?
They're both getting attacked on.
Have you been around an athlete before? This is the kind of stuff people say.
Exactly.
You know? I've had conversations with players who aren't even in the league as early as last year who think that they were the best player on the team. Like, it's not the Heat necessarily, but it's like, this is what athletes say all the time. Put a microphone in front of them, see what's going to happen. But at the same time, he outplayed Trae Young every single time they were on the court together this season. You know, he had an awesome year. He said he wanted to be an all-star. He was an all-star. Like, this is a guy who's accomplished a lot of things in the league, despite the fact that he's been a little bit of a lightning rod for this team. And I think during the Jimmy Butler years, he was put in a tough spot because there was games where Jimmy Butler was the number one option, and then there was games where Jimmy Butler decided he didn't feel like being the number one
option.
And
you didn't know when, and that kind of confused the hell out of everybody else. Right.
Exactly. And so I think it was always tough for him. But look, I think he stepped up to the degree he could step up. No, he can't be the number one option on a championship-winning team. So what? How many guys are? He's a really good basketball player. And if he had a real number one option to play off of, I think everybody would appreciate him a little bit more.
The other thing too is, I mean, you know, like we saw last night, like even Luka got attacked defensively. Reeves had a tough one. These are guys that he's put his name with or is compared to all the time. But man, Wes, they got zero from Kalel because he's so young, and they got zero from Andrew Wiggins in this series. And it was hard not to notice that Andrew Wiggins did not show up yesterday or decided not to speak. Not that he ever says anything that enlightening, but it feels like this guy never wanted to be on the Miami Heat. He did not decide to be traded to the Miami Heat. He was kind of just the salary match. Know that there was, you know, him having a kid in the middle of the season. But, like, do you think this is a marriage that can work? Because he's got a couple years at a pretty hefty price the next couple of years. Or do you feel like this is somewhere where, like, maybe they got to find another destination that he likes better? Because it did not feel like the Andrew Wiggins experiment worked too well for them.
Yeah, the Wiggins thing was not great. The lack of availability was a big reason for that. The guy never got really a chance to practice with the team. I don't know that he doesn't want to be in Miami. I do know from talking with him, he's not a fan of big cities. Like, even when he was playing in Golden State, he refused to live in San Francisco. He lived in a suburb. So I don't know where he's living now, but he doesn't like cities. So I don't know whether that has any part of it. But also, you know, he was kind of feeling some type of way. He literally just had a baby girl and then got traded. And I think it wasn't so much that he was not wanting to be in Miami. It was more of he didn't want to leave in that moment. And I think he was maybe a little bummed out after that. And then you compare that, you combine that with the injuries, and I think you see what you got. That said, it's not an excuse. You know, I just think, you know, you're trying to find reasons for stuff. But, you know, it was half a year. I think he's a movable contract in today's CBA. I think there's a lot of teams in the league that can talk themselves into 6'8 wing, definitely can score, plays a little bit of defense, can rebound a little bit, play make a little bit. Like, he just fits. He's not going to be the answer to everything, but he could be a puzzle piece for us. So if the Heat wanted to try to shop him around, I'm sure they could find some takers for him. Absolutely. But at the same time, I don't think you're just trying to get off of him because of how the season ended. He was here for a couple of months. I think if you had to go into the next season with him, that would be okay, and you would hope that you would get a better year. I mean, remember, Andrew Wiggins got traded to Golden State in the middle of the year. It was kind of weird. It was also COVID happening and all that kind of stuff. And then he came back the next year, and they won a championship, and he was the second best player on that team, you know, after in his first full season with the Warriors. So I think you can hold out hope, but at the same time, I mean, the book is out on Andrew Wiggins. Like, Heat fans are just learning what Minnesota and Golden State fans knew all along about, and Kansas fans, even going back to college, and people who would watch him in high school. You know, I've talked to his high school coaches, his college coaches. I've talked to people who have been around him. Like, this is just the Wiggins experience. So, you know, as long as you're not asking him to be the number one, two, or three option, he's really good. But then again, that's an expensive number four.
Yeah, it is. Best guess before we get you out of here, Wes. I'm doing this without, I understand, Pat speaking. So I think that'll probably always change our thoughts.
As long as you don't talk to him, we're good.
Hey, man, it's not my fault.
He's responsible for his own words.
It is your fault.
It's not my fault, Wes!
Yes! The mush! Wes! It is his
this
fault.
This is ridiculous.
Every time he talks to somebody, he talked to Jimmy, he talked to Pat.
I walked into the exit interviews yesterday, and I was just glad Tobin wasn't there.
Oh, God.
Man, you're being called out.
You're being called out!
I think that's it.
See, when it's me...
Because you're a bully.
Yeah, that's what you say.
You are.
What about Wes?
You're influencing him. Without hearing from Pat, if I had to handicap it for you, if you had a thought, Heat nail a whale, Heat get a guy with baggage but is very talented, or they take kind of a step back year and maybe, you know, play for a better pick next year, what do you think is the path they would choose after a year like this?
The path that they would choose is to go get that whale. Go get that 27-plus point-per-game scorer who can make all the things click into place. That would be the path. And that is what they're going to try to do. We know that. Pat Riley, they don't want to wait 5 years between stars again, right? Between LeBron leaving in 2014 and Jimmy coming back in 2019. There's no appetite for that. They want to go get a star. They'll be calling the teams with the players, with the names that everybody is speculating about. You know, there are no secrets right now in the NBA. Everybody knows who is and could be available. So, yeah, I think that's the path. But look, if that doesn't happen, then the decisions get a little bit tougher at that point.
We appreciate the time, man. Go check out Wes Goldberg, Locked On Heat podcast. You guys go subscribe to their YouTube channel, all podcast platforms as well. Him and Dave Vermeil do a great job. You're doing a lot of other shows, Wes. Anything else you want to promote for the NBA playoffs? Because I saw you're doing some national stuff as well.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, Real GM Radio on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. We're recording twice a week covering the playoffs with some really great guests.
Oh, can I just ask you one before we get out of here? What'd you think of the J.J. Redick meltdown before the game yesterday?
Oh, it's great. I saw somebody say it was like, I guess he's a Cancer or something. Like, that's his sign, and that's like what Cancers do. Like, that Zodiac GM guy, which was amazing. Yeah, dude, like, J.J. Redick press conferences, they're just going to be a show. If you just listen to him on ESPN and on his podcast, you kind of know his deal. I don't want to get in trouble or anything.
But... I gotcha. All right, man. Thanks for the time. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Wes.
Thanks, guys.
There you go, Wes Goldberg. Go check out his work. He does fantastic stuff. I don't like what you did.
I didn't do anything.
I don't like what you did.
Just like you said, Pat and Jimmy used their own words. He used his own words. He said, "You're a mush."
He said it was my fault. You said I was the mush.
Christ. Your fault. The mush. Samesies.
Back up.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM.
My man, Wes. Call it like you see it, baby.
I don't like what you did. I don't like what you did. I don't appreciate it. You're taking my Heat brethren and you're turning them against me.
I did not turn them Heat. Listen, just like you said, he used his own words. I didn't put words in his mouth.
No one made him.
Words means words.
Yeah, but you see, what do you say? You say, nope, I didn't do anything.
Can I get a weather update from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com? Free consultations 24/7. Call them up at 866-954-MORE.
All right.
Demesman and Dover. All your legal needs.
Oh, yeah. You might want to give it a little call there, Frog Boy.
All right. So we got a nice, crisp breeze coming out of the east. And I'd say 15 gusting up to almost 20 miles an hour. It is partly cloudy. And I would say, when it's cloudy like this, you always got a chance for a passing shower, but it doesn't look likely. And I would say it's about 83, 84 degrees, because it looks like it's, you know, there's some, looks like it's a little warm out there.
A little soupy.
Yeah.
Ew.
There you go.
That's just, sorry, there you go. How did he do, Frog Boy?
Did great. Wind is out of the east, of course, at 15 miles per hour, just like you said it was. Sun and clouds mix, partly cloudy, like you said it was. Right now, they have it listed at around 81.
Ooh.
And a very minimal chance of rain today.
That cool water. The water is much colder than the air. So when it comes out of the east, it makes the area around here a little cooler.
Excuse me, sir. I'm being sounds like you want to
go.
Light.
Sounds like you want to go snorkeling with me.
Ooh,
snorkeling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There's no way on this planet. Well, first of all, if I go in with you,
yeah.
They'll look at me. Who's that little guy? Let's get the big one. We can share him. Bring all the little calves. That's what sharks have.
No, what if you got a keto head. Shark? What if you got one who's a
whales
keto?
Have calves, right?
Yes, whales have calves.
Yeah.
What do sharks have? Just baby sharks?
Who are we like this?
Because. So, yeah. Snorkeling. I think I did it when we went to, where did we go to? Did we go to Jamaica?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because let me tell you something about these people in Jamaica.
Okay.
Finding Leroy.
They go, the water's beautiful. Like, I'm not getting in that water.
Why not?
They go, we have it blocked off with the net.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, okay, so Nut could get in, right? They go, the guy goes, no, man. I'm like, oh, I don't know. So I got the goggles. I go under. Right before I get ready to get in the water, some random lady goes, hey, take off that chain. The barracudas like shiny stuff. I say, who? What?
I've heard that before.
So I get in the water.
I've heard that.
I don't do anything.
We're looking underneath. The water's beautiful. We're seeing all kind of little creatures or whatever. And boom, two barracudas go by.
A barracuda can't kill you, though.
You'll be fine.
Have you seen the teeth on a barracuda?
They can't kill you, dude.
Get out of here.
You'll be fine. They're literally the first fish you see underwater.
I know. But I like, and they're long.
I know, like little torpedoes.
Yeah, and all they have is teeth. Like, they're always smiling.
I don't like it.
They're happy.
No, I don't like it either.
They can't kill you. They're just a little nip.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And you know what?
I went in.
You were fine.
Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't, you know.
Come on, let's go to the nut.
You got a bigger fish to worry about. What did you say?
I'm go to the nut, Peanut Island. I knew what he was talking about. No.
Everybody knows the nut.
No. I've seen pictures of you at Peanut Island, and I'm like, no. Because you're the guy that bring a friend and act a fool to make the friend uncomfortable just so you can have a good time. No, I'm not going to be your muse. Well, I'm not going there to entertain you. No.
Let's get to the Mixburg. What do you got for us today? Hop along?
Woo! Quick, though. Quick when I hop. We have
not
some
today.
Exit. I'm actually faster hopping than walking.
Now with that old Timu crutch you got.
You know, I got this. It doesn't even
you want my cane? You want my cane? My cane is a little bit better.
He's going to be hunched over.
Who's going to help him, huh?
Huh?
Yeah, anyone going to help me in the restroom?
That crutch.
You want me to help you unzip?
Y'all should help
me.
I will say this. When my hand was jacked up.
I like to fully take my pants off.
When my hand was jacked up, Tom was like, hey, man, you all right?
Yeah, we were at the Tyreek Hill thing. Yeah. We were at the Tyreek Hill gala. We were emceeing, and I was like, he's like, I got to go. I was like, do you need help?
No. I'm like, no, man.
I'd do it. I like to do it.
Notice, I guess they didn't like my joke because they didn't invite me back.
I don't think they did another gala.
Oh, really?
I don't think they did another gala.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like he's doing a lot of galas.
Hey, tell Crowder to bring his wheelchair.
I did text Crowder and say, hey, it's not purple yet. Is this broken? And he said it takes a couple days to get purple.
Oof. Yeah.
You figure an expert on injuries would know how not to get injured.
Mm. You're trying to impress your kids.
He's out there trying to be a cheerleader. That's how he broke his feet.
I know.
Like, what?
But he had to think to himself. Oh,
he said, when I was younger, I used to do backflip of it. I say, key word there, younger.
I picked off Tom Brady. I'm not going to get hurt doing cheer.
Cheerleading.
Did he do it?
Yeah.
On a cheer, like, spring?
No, he did it in his living room on tile. Yeah.
Right.
Because, like, when you practice cheerleading, like, it's on a spring floor.
Yep.
No,
yeah.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. No, not with cheer. That's gymnastics, dude.
No, they do with cheer, too.
Yeah. No, they don't. On the competitions.
Yeah, no, the whole, when you go to a, when you're, not like high school cheerleading, I'm talking about cheer competition. Everything they
do. I said a competition.
No. But I'm saying when they practice, it's all on a spring floor.
Well, I was saying no to Crowder.
Well, yeah, he was on tile.
I don't know what, you know, that's probably the best lesson that I learned when I got done with sports.
What's that?
Because I was so hurt. Like, I spent like the first year and a half just recovering from all the injuries. And I'm like, you know what? As soon as I get better, I'm done with this foolishness. Right? I don't know why Crowder still think he could do stuff.
I don't know. But what do you got?
You ain't that guy.
He got humbled.
What do you got in the mixed bag, Marcos?
I have some exit interviews for you guys. Some cuts, at least.
All right.
As Miami Heat transition to the offseason.
That transition was rough.
It was.
No, we got thrown into the offseason. We got kicked out. Like Evan Mobley and Jared Allen treated us like a bouncer and a drunk. Get out of these playoffs.
Well, let's go ahead and put a smile on our face as we hear from Nico.
Oh, I love him.
That is our boy who says he will have his first official NBA offseason in which he looks to improve.
It's been different, you know. My first year, I had a summer league, you know, we went to the finals, and I haven't had a lot of room to, you know, just work. I had a national team, you know, so I didn't have a lot of time. Last year, I felt like I started off really good until, you know, I broke my foot in the middle of the summer.
Relatable.
I didn't come back, didn't practice until the Olympics. At the moment, I wasn't even ready for the Olympics. So basically, last two summers, I really didn't have no time to work on anything. This summer, I feel like I hope I stay healthy, you know, everything goes good until the training camp for the national team, which is probably end of July. So I have a solid 3 months, you know, to work on something. What that something will be, I don't know yet. You know, I still have to, you know, connect with the coaches and think about it a little bit. But I feel like this might be the first summer that I actually have some time to, you know, improve my game.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Remember, we all got freaked out before the Olympics because he was scooting around. He got hurt.
He played.
Yeah. He played, but he didn't even get to play that much because he didn't get any practice. He basically parachuted in to be a body for Serbia.
Right.
But it's Eurobasket this summer. Now, this was the tournament that Goran was the MVP for. Remember, we had Goran yelling at all his Slovenian teammates in English.
That's
right. And this was the big, this was kind of the coming out party for Luka when Luka was 17, I think, in that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So Eurobasket's a big deal over there, and so he's going to be in that. I think that's a great tournament. Any of that stuff, he also mentioned, he's like, I think just playing is going to be huge for me. You know, I mean, dude, he missed 2 months of the season because of that stupid broken hand.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to it. Guys,
basketball has become soccer.
Yeah, just all year round.
Especially in Europe,
yep.
Right? There's always the FIBA, Olympics, Euros, like something every offseason.
Yep. So I like it. I'm a big Nico fan. I can't wait to see what he does.
So let me ask you this.
Yep.
Realistically,
mm-hmm.
And don't do the Tobin thing. Real talk. Do you think the Heat have a chance at any of these whales? And if so, who would you really want? I'm not, because I get the Ja and the Zion thing. That's more of that's who's available.
Right.
But ideally, you don't want that type of superstar.
I mean, like, the Durant thing's such an interesting thing because, like, I think it would be cool because I think that Bam and Tyler do need somebody like him.
He's all about basketball.
Yeah, they
That's the thing that I appreciate with that.
They do need somebody like him for sure. I just don't, like, I don't know what he moves the needle like anymore. It's kind of tough to know. I know everything hasn't been his fault.
Right.
Because I know, like, the Nets team kind of combusted with injuries and Kyrie and James Harden being James Harden. So, and then the same thing kind of happened with the Suns and their coach was, I mean, they were stupid. They traded for Bradley Beal. Like, they should have known, like, hey, should we do this? Like, so I don't know what it's going to take to get Kevin Durant. Like, this is the interesting thing is
probably nothing.
Yeah, I would guess.
I would think it would take less to get Kevin Durant than it would to get Zion or Ja.
Would you do it for two firsts?
No.
One first?
It's Kevin Durant.
Three firsts?
No.
So what do you use?
One and maybe some
Jaime.
The way you want to get a superstar for loose change, I think it's one of those situations where the Suns can dump some salary, they can get it off there, and that is the gift.
But the Suns are gonna also gonna want to get assets, probably even to get rid of the Beal contract too. Like, they're gonna want to open stuff up to try and rebuild around Devin.
Listen, under no circumstances. Under no circumstances is Bradley Beal going to be a Heat player.
No. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, like, I'm saying that they're going to want assets to give them a little flexibility.
KD's going to Houston.
Makes sense. That would make sense.
Yep.
God, I want them to come back 3-1 so bad.
Hmm?
I almost blew it, though, yesterday. See that? They smoked the Warriors.
Oh,
they pulled the starters, and then it got to, like, 12 points.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was. I mean, the problem with Houston is you think the Heat have turd quarters? They are excellent defensively. They go through stretches where they can't score a lick.
Here's the thing with Houston. Like, this is one of those things. Like, I don't think they got to overthink this. Like, play Steven Adams and Şengün together.
And just bash them.
I don't think this is a hard thing. Like, I think – I know they don't like to play Steven Adams too much, but, like, man, they got no answer for that dude when they play those two together.
And by the way, Şengün, he does whatever he wants. He just got to make the shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
They give him the ball wide open on at the foul line, and he does that little.
Timbo says, got rid of an aging superstar to trade for another aging superstar.
A scorer. Like, you could get a year or two out of Kevin Durant. I'm not saying it's a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a long-term thing, you're looking at Ja and Zion. And that's – here, in the next 2 years, let's think of it this way. In the next 2 years, who's more dependable on the basketball court, Zion, Ja, or KD?
I mean, obviously it's not Zion.
It's KD. Like, because Ja is tiny. He gets hurt a lot.
Old, though, dude. He is getting up there.
Who?
KD.
I said the next 2 years. I said it purposely.
Yeah, so when he's what? What is he, 38 now? 38? Is he 38, Marcos, or is he 37? What is he?
And this is all
36.
He's 36?
37 in September.
Okay, so it'll be his 37-38 season. Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's right, just right there with – he ain't playing as hard as Jimmy. That Jimmy going to come to a crashing halt.
Oh, yeah.
Right? KD is like – he can always get his shot.
He's got that smooth jumper.
Right. But here's the other thing.
Yep.
Like, the thing that has plagued this team in the last 2 years has been injuries. And I don't know. Every time somebody put on a Heat uniform, they missed 2 weeks.
What's up with that?
Andrew Wiggins ain't never been hurt in his career.
Hurt my feelings. Give us one more here, Marcus, in the mixed bag.
Eric Spoelstra spoke yesterday.
He's been very quiet about
that was gross.
About his feelings on Jimmy Butler. We finally got him to speak.
Player who effectively quit on this team, sat up there an hour after you spoke in January about that, who missed a team flight, who left the gym when told he wasn't starting. Unique situation probably in this franchise's 37-year history. When you look at the relationship with Jimmy Butler and what he did over a period of 6 weeks to force a trade that Pat Riley said he wouldn't have made, can you sort of crystallize for us the impact that that had on this team?
Well, it certainly had an impact. You know, we are an organization that prides ourselves on not making any kind of excuses. And even if we managed it perfectly, there's always second guessing on what we could have done, you know, better just to right the ship. And it was turbulent waters. It's not as if that would have moved the needle for us to be first in the conference. That's unrealistic. But you know, when I look back on it, I'll look back on it the same way now as years from now. It was a good 5-year run. And when things end, oftentimes they end not as loudly as this, but it ends where there's something.
Never.
And you go look at all the other teams out there with players when they change teams. There's a certain feeling about it. And it's unfortunate. You know, we all feel like it didn't have to go to that level. But we have clarity now. We've turned the page. There's a different chapter, and we're moving on.
All right, we'll take a break. We got to get to that, but we'll get our thoughts on what Spo had to say about Jimmy. Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com going to join us next hour. Take a break. Back with more to this.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.